Yes, good morning to all. A number of years ago, a Soviet astronaut was interviewed. He had just been on a trip. He'd gone up in a rocket and traveled about 1,000,000 kilometers. After 8 days or so, he returned. He'd gone past the moon and traveled long, great distances in space. And during the interview, he said an interesting thing. He said, "I didn't see God." And we are not surprised that he didn't see God. Who knows? God might have been hiding behind the sun. Or if he'd read in the Bible, he might have read words like, "God is spirit." So yes, it's not surprising that he didn't see God. People who believe in God, we see God. And those who don't believe in God, they don't see him anywhere, no matter where they look. Let's turn to a passage where Paul is reporting something. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Part of the first missionary trip of Paul. He and Barnabas were together. And they came to Pisidian Antioch. There are two main Antiochs in the New Testament. The one is in Syria, which is more well known. That's where Paul and Barnabas were sent out from, that Antioch. And then there was this Pisidian Antioch, a different one. Before we read, let's just bow our heads again. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can commit this message to you. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word that we can read and learn from. We pray even now your blessing. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Acts 13 from verse 13. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. That was John Mark. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me, one is coming, the sandal of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Just so far. I'm impressed with this passage of Scripture, how Paul tells a special time of history from when the Israelites left Egypt. Further, he jumped over major sections until he comes to Christ. But the way he tells the story, he tells it as a believer. We believe in God. And we are different from the people in the world because we believe in God. As we move around society, there are people around us who don't. And yet we believe. And because we believe, we have a totally different perspective of things happening. I'd like to look at this passage again. Not the whole passage, but just verse 17 to 23. And let's read it from a different version. We could call it the humanist version or the atheist version. Maybe friends of that astronaut might have a Bible like that. Let's turn to it and just with a bit of imagination, imagine a person who is not a believer telling the same history. And giving it to us, telling us about that period of history from verse 17. So the time came during the time of our fathers where they became a great nation during the time that they stayed in the land of Egypt. And with great power they went out of Egypt. For about 40 years they endured the hardships of the wilderness. And after they, by their great power, conquered seven nations in the land of Canaan, they possessed the land. All this took about 450 years. After that, they chose judges to rule themselves until the time of that religious man, Samuel. Then they decided to choose a king, and they appointed Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when Saul had died, they chose David to be their king. And this man David was a man of wonderful character. And he did good things. Of this man's offspring, we found that another religious person by the name of Jesus came, whom some people predicted would come. I would imagine an atheist might give this kind of history. You'll notice it's somebody who doesn't believe in God, but we believe in God. We don't see it that way, and yet people around us see things that way. If they told the same history, they would give it more or less in those words. They see man, they don't see God. They believe in man, they don't believe in God. Paul saw differently. Paul saw God everywhere. It is God leading. It is God guiding. It is God strengthening. It is God conquering. It is God moving around, doing all these things. Maybe just to drive it home clearer, let's read it one more time. This time we'll take out, instead of using the pronouns, we'll see God in every verse the way it is. Again, verse 17. Even the Bible says it's good to repeat. So this is a method of teaching, isn't it? To go through the same passage. Verse 17. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers, and God made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, God led them out. For about 40 years, God put up with them in the wilderness. And after God had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, God gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After that, God gave them judges until Samuel, the prophet of God. Then they asked God for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after God had removed Saul, we thought it was the Philistines, it was God who had removed Saul, God raised up David to be their king, of whom God testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all the will of the Lord. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as God had promised. Before his coming, John had promised a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Sorry, I read even beyond what I planned to. Can you see how God is involved in everything? He's the subject of almost every verb in this whole passage. I've heard people testifying, and when they testify and speak about what has happened in their life, Christians testifying, and you hear, I, and somehow God is not the one who is active. And yet when we look with believing eyes, as Paul did, we see God at work, and it touches us, it changes us. You see, it is God who is at work. It is God who is active. God makes the sun come up in the morning. It is God who created the animals that we see. If there's something beautiful, we say, it is God who made it beautiful. And it is God who gave us eyes to see. And God who gave us the pleasure of those things. God gives life. God gives breath. God holds us in His hand. He makes us survive. He answers prayer. Isn't it? We are believers. We believe in God. A second point we can make, just coming out of this lesson, is that we point to God. Yes, we not only believe in God, but we point to God. God uses people to help people. And when we point to God and people look in that direction, God uses that to build faith. The unbelievers, they can't see God at work. They look around and they just don't see. Like that poor astronaut. He came with boldness as an atheist, saying he didn't see God. But we do. So we actually need to be the ones helping those that can't see God. We need to help them to see. To see God. They can't see Him anywhere. So we have got the duty, the responsibility of pointing to God. Consider how Jesus pointed to His Father. We read in John's Gospel, He is the light. And He shows the Father. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He is that light. It's like a bright torch, a shining in a dark place. And you look at where the light is shining and you see what this light is shining on. John the Baptist was like that as well. And we need to follow the example of Jesus in pointing to the Father. We need to follow the example of John the Baptist pointing to Jesus. You could say he was a light. It's interesting the way John starts his gospel saying he's not the light, but he was a light. But he was pointing to Christ, saying, it's not me, it's the one coming after me. He's the one you need to follow. And of course, he had two disciples, John and Andrew. And when they saw John the Baptist pointing, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the way, the sin of the world. These two disciples stopped following John the Baptist and they started following Jesus. Because he was pointing to the one that they needed to believe in. And isn't that our duty as well? In this life where so many don't believe, so many don't see, we need to point so that they can see. They can see that which is only spiritually discerned, that which we can only see by faith, by believing. When we talk about God, when we mention God as the one who is active, it builds people's faith. God uses it. I'm not saying in itself it's going to build faith, because faith is a gift. But as we point, God uses that and it builds people's faith. When we say God, 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 the people realize, oh, there's a God out there. There's a God here. There's an active God who is powerful. He's going to judge us one day. And faith comes because God works that faith as we point to people. Faith leads to salvation and to spiritual growth. A growth in faith, spiritual growth. A humanist message will point people to humans. A humanist holiday will point people to humans. Workers' Day, Secretary's Day, Women's Day, Father's Day, Freedom Day, whatever day. I don't know what days you get, but they point to people, to human beings. I'm not saying there's something terribly wrong with that, but humanists are inclined to point to humans. And of course, place names, it's the same thing. But as God's people, we are not pointing to people all the time, are we? We're pointing to God. And yet the atheist will see people everywhere and be very proud of them. We see God. We see God at work. We see an almighty God. And even the Christian holidays and so on, they point to Christ and to God. And they build faith. And as we are using those kind of means of pointing, people look and they see. And faith is built. A Christian testimony is a testimony that says, God worked in my heart. God sent somebody to me to preach the gospel. And God opened my heart. And he gave me faith. And he gave me the promise of everlasting life. And God did this and God did that. And God carried me and he kept me from falling away. And thanks be to him, and praise be to his name. So a Christian points to God because a Christian believes in God. We believe in God, we point to God. And a third point we'd like to bring out is we hope in God. When we look at ourselves or we look around us, there is an inclination to maybe get discouraged. We get sick. We look at our weakness. We look at our bank balance. We say, oh, I don't have enough there. I look at the needs and the problems. Look at the country. We see crime. We see corruption. You look at all these negative things. And we fail a test. And we look at a project and we say, but we're struggling with it. And then we look to God and we say, but God is mighty, mighty. And faith builds up, isn't it? When we look to ourselves, we're down in the dumps. When we look to the Lord, we are built up in our faith. When our brothers point to God, then we look, we are reminded, our faith is built up, we are strengthened, our hope increases. And with good reason, God builds us our hope. Because we remember that if we don't have workers, God sends the laborers. If there's no strength, God gives the strength. If there's no wisdom, what does the Bible say? Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach. We need it. So we pray. God is the one equipping. God is the one sanctifying. God is the one empowering. We need to definitely not use the spectacles that the atheist had on when he told that story. We need to have those spectacles that see very clearly, that see God everywhere. And as we see, we believe, and our hope is built up. Paul had plenty of hope. He was a man of hope. He was a man that constantly went forward with great hope. So, when we see in this way, the way that Paul saw, we are strengthened. We are able to see God better. And that builds us up. Brothers and sisters, God is at work around us. We can't see Him with our physical eyes. But as our faith is built up and as we help each other to point, our faith is built. We point to Him so that others can see Him. We look around and just the way we say something can help them. You remember how we read this passage? Just the way I say what happened to me over the weekend can make a huge difference in somebody else's life. I can tell you what happened to me or how I experienced things last week. I can do it in two different ways. I can do it without seeing God. And I can say what I did and what other people did to me and how I felt. And just how things were, and without even using the name of the Lord at all. Or I can tell the same thing, putting in the Lord everywhere. If we imitate others, if we just do what other people do around us, we will speak like they speak, and it won't be a faith-building message at all. But if we speak as people who see God everywhere, as we read in the scriptures reminding us of how God is everywhere, we will build people's faith. We will build people's hope. I'd like to look at Romans 11 verse 36 as we come toward a close. Romans 11 36. This is the same Paul. He says, this is one reason why we would not speak in a humanistic, atheistic way. Why is that? For from Him, that's from God, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. I didn't choose Christ. Christ chose me. Joseph didn't go to Egypt. God sent him to Egypt. I didn't get saved. God saved me. Lydia didn't just believe. God opened her heart. Israel didn't just survive in the wilderness. God carried them through the wilderness. Saul didn't just die. The Lord removed him. Oh, may the Lord help us in our lives to be people who believe in God, who point to God deliberately and regularly, and to have hope in God, and build hope in God. Some of you might go study at another institution. You might even have professors that teach about God as some being in history or as some object. Don't let your faith waver. Let us be people of faith, even in these days. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you very much that you are a living God. Even today, even during this time that we are here, it is you that is busy. It is you speaking through your word. It is you working in our hearts. It is you that is the hope of our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us here to be more like what Paul was. And that you would minister through us in that way, bringing people to yourself for your own namesake, because all the honor you deserve.